This morning I'd like to share with you a bit of a report on my recent Soma trip to Tanzania, so that you can share a little bit more deeply in what we did and also rejoice in the blessings that we experienced. One of our key texts when we visited was Luke 9:9-6. It said, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. And whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. And if people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Let's pray. So Lord, as we share in this account this morning, let us celebrate the work of the Holy Spirit and your power and authority as it worked throughout the Kondoa Diocese through the Soma team. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you give and that we're able to share in your generous sharing of the gospel with others. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, Soma is an acronym for sharing our ministry abroad. And the Soma ministry came about as a result of the charismatic renewal of the 1980s and 1990s in the Anglican Church. It became very introspective, and so they decided in order to take the Holy Spirit ministry out, they would send out small mission teams, particularly into developing countries, and share with them all of the blessings that Anglican renewal in the Western world had been receiving. So the team that I went with was a part of still the New Zealand Soma team. And on the left is Peter Acosta. Peter was formerly the Bible College principal of Kondoa for 3 years. Me, John Mock, who's a Peter's a priest, John Mock, who's a layman from Rangiora, and Andrew Allen Johns, who is the head of Soma New Zealand. We landed at Kilimanjaro, and as you can see, things are nice and green there. Green at the airport, of course, for everybody to see. But then when you get out into the bush, that's where reality takes place. It's been a very dry time over there. There are some children in some of the parts of the diocese who are starting to die from lack of food. And as I shared before, some people are only eating every third day. What happened was earlier in the year, there was a big rainstorm that went through the bottom of Malawi, Mozambique and Madagascar. And as it went through, it sucked all the moisture out of Tanzania. So they didn't get their March rains, which meant that there's been no crop and virtually no rain since January. So a little bit brighter there with some green trees. As you come into Arusha, which is one of the main towns in the north, there's quite a bit of water there that they're able to get from underground supplies, and they grow coffee. When we arrived at Kondoa, which was the central town of the diocese, we stayed in this building, which has been built by the Mothers Union for people who come and particularly visit and work in the Kondoa diocese. It's quite good because previously you used to have to stay with the bishop or with one of the missionaries in their home, and they were always having visitors. So that was my room with the pretty floral sheets, and that's the eating area where we had some meals. And that was our first breakfast. That's a typical Tanzanian breakfast. The big flat thing is a chapati, which is just a flat bread made of flour and oil and water. And the bun is, it's a small cake kind of thing. It's sweet. It's made from a dough that's boiled in oil, and it's called a mandazi. And both of those are very nice to eat. You either have them plain or, like, I put a bit of sugar on my chapati. There's an amazing lady who is staying at the hostel at the moment. Her name is Anita Ayres-Henderlight, and Anita has felt a call from God in 2003 to serve in Africa. And she has been serving in Uganda and in South Sudan, and more recently in the Anglican Diocese of Kondoa as the community officer for and administrator and fundraiser for the secondary Anglican college that is in the diocese. And she has come to Tanzania because her life was in danger in South Sudan. This is another amazing couple, Nigel and Anne Pope, who are from the UK. The Diocese of Rochester supports the Kondoa Anglican Diocese a great deal, with lots of finance and lots of people visiting. And they were there particularly for the opening of the deanery, not the deanery, the vicarage. That's what they call rectories over there in Makasabi. You'll see a bit more later on. Our first gig the next day was at the local Bible college, and it's one of the lecturers up the front and all the students there. We did 2 one-hour lectures for the students. And our ministry is Holy Spirit ministry, and so what we teach on is healing, spiritual warfare, dangers of the occult and witchcraft. We speak about deliverance, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and also something that's very big there is forgiveness and reconciliation. So they're our main topics, and we talk on various areas of them when we're there. That's Peter teaching. And then in the afternoon we had we did a healing seminar with the students in the cathedral, and we were led by the Spirit to pray particularly for people who had arthritic feet, hearing and breathing problems. And we prayed for plenty of feet and lungs that day. And one of my stories was that as I was praying for one chap who came forward with a bad knee, he came limping up the front. And as I prayed healing on his knee, I could feel his kneecap moving in his socket. And then he just walked straight back to his chair completely healed, which was quite amazing. So that was our sort of beginning and our kind of rest day. The next day we headed off to a village called Itowa, that's leaving leaving Kondoa. And as we went, there are always plenty of horses and donkeys along the side of the road. Life is very busy at the moment because people are taking their herds anywhere they can for food and water because the situation is so desperate, and their cattle, their animals are their bank balance, their currency. This is arriving at Itowa, just your regular African village made of mud huts with sheets of iron on the roof. That's the church at Itowa. And that's the front of the church there. And in the corner, you can't see it that well, is actually the baptismal font. Just so that you know, I did a bit of work when I was there. That's me doing a teaching session. And We normally start in the morning about 10 o'clock. We have a couple of breaks through the day, and we finish about 6 o'clock at night time. And then there is always, you go and sit out in front of the pastor's house. That's the vicarage there at Etowah, and you have fellowship time together for about an hour and a half before chakula, which is one of the main meals of the day, is served. And when we're out there, it was roasted goat and rice. That was very nice. This is Rebecca. She's a pastor's wife. She's an amazing lady. At the end of the day, the kids from the village come to the pastor's home, and they have two soccer balls that they play with every day, and they have a game of soccer, and then when it's time for them to go home, Rebecca calls them all together. They sing a Bible song, the Sunday school kids' song, and she prays for them, and then she dismisses them, and then all the kids go home, and that's it, because Mama has spoken. This is where we stayed when we were at Etowah. It wasn't quite a mud hut, but more of a middle-class house that was owned by a teacher, Ernest, and his wife, Anna. And that was the room that Andrew and I slept in. And that's Ernest and Anna. And on the first day, they were able to pray for Ernest and Anna's daughter, Angel, who since her pregnancy had something like a feeling of stones in her belly, and we were able to pray for her and she was healed. And by the second day or third day when we left, she was still feeling well and hadn't felt so good in quite some time. So we gave the Lord praise for that. At the end of our teaching time there, they presented us all with a brightly coloured kanga, like kind of like this one, and it was from there that we headed off. One more. That's a photo of myself and Rebecca. Rebecca can't understand why it is that three men from New Zealand would only have five children between them, because she has seven. And she thinks that, why are your family so small? Can't understand that. Maybe it's because we have electricity and they don't. And that's the Etowah, and one of the street scenes there. And back in Condoa now, this is one of the little cherubs that lives next door to where we're staying at the hostel, and most days she came for a chat and a high five and a pickup. And so that day I tried to take a photo of her, but she didn't know anything about smiling. All she could do was make funny faces. The next day we headed out to Mwakasabi, and on the way to Mwakasabi is a town called Sawyer, and there was a big market at Sawyer for that weekend. That was a big cattle sale that they were having. And that's the main street of Sawyer. There was just markets for Africa, as they say. And fruit and vegetables, and you could just about buy anything there. Then we headed to Mwakasabi, which was our destination for the day, where the bishop was going to consecrate the new vicarage. And unlike here, when the bishop comes, they'll probably meet the bishop's car down in the corner there, and they will process and they'll beat their drums and they will sing because the bishop is coming. And it's a big thrill for them to have the bishop. And of course, the Mzungu, the white fellas, come to town as well. So that's the new vicarage that was being consecrated, blessed that day, and that's the old one. So I think I'd rather live in the new one. Okay, church services always begin with singing and dancing. they call them choirs, no matter, but they're not like just a traditional hymn singing choir. You know, they sing and they dance and they beat their drums and they do all sorts of things. And that sort of carries on at the beginning of the service for about the first half an hour to an hour. Just all depends how many choirs want to perform for the bishop. And at the time that we were there, there's a diocesan choir competition happening, and they all had to write a song on John the Baptist. And then they were meeting together on the following Sunday after we left for this big choir competition. So everywhere we went, we were told by our translators that this is the John the Baptist song. And at the service, I got to preach the message that morning, and I got to baptize a lovely little Chicago girl whose name was Veronica Erica. So we blessed, the bishop blessed the deanery, and I got to participate in saying prayers in the rooms as we went through the deanery, the vicarage to bless it. Then later in the afternoon we headed back, and that's at a place called Mawalanjangi. And that has a big well at it. And so, as you can see, there's lots of animals and lots of people gather there to get water. My church in Westport, before I came here, when I went back, they were inspired to assist in mission over there. And they raised $3,000 New Zealand so that we could pay for a roof on one of the churches over there. The people normally build the bricks, make the bricks and build the church themselves, but they need the roof supplied. So I took some photos of that roof there, and soon I'm going to send it over to the folk in Westport. That's the church roof that they bought. The next day was supposed to be a day where we went out to Masinjalali Maasai community, but we didn't go because of the fact that there was such a drought there that they're all out doing their best to keep their cattle alive, finding food and water. So we spent the day just hanging out in Condoa, and that's Condoa town. And some of you who get my Facebook would have seen this one already. That's the not the Nazi fashion shop, but rather the Nazi fashion shop. Nazi means coconut. So that's the coconut fashion shop. And another one there is, you probably mightn't be able to see it, that's the George Bush Pepsi shop. Okay? So they take names from the West and they stick them on the shops, and they don't really know often what they mean. Like last year I told you about the Google pub that neither sells alcohol because it's Islamic, or it has no internet connection either, but it's called the Google pub. And that's us having a good Western ice cream out in the front of one of the shops in Condoa. The next day we're off again back out to Wakasabi. This is the road through to Songalali, which is one of the places on the road. When we got to Wakasabi, a lot of the people were out on the out with their cattle, of course, trying to get food and water in order to stay alive. And our gathering was fairly small, but as the day went on, more and more people came. Somebody asked me about the Islamic Christian relationship. In most every place that we went to, it was fairly good. We actually, at most of the teaching sessions we had, we always had one or two or three Muslims there. And they would come because they were friends with the Christians, and they would come and they would even come out for prayer. At Wakasabi, we had this nasty little visitor try and come into church, and there's no snake catchers in Africa. They absolutely hate snakes. It was like you could just feel the tension rise, and they were all out there, and then all of a sudden, whack, 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 with these big pieces of big poles of sort of sugar cane, and they belt this poor snake to death. And so, because we couldn't have time with the Maasai that I shared with you before at Musinjalali, we went out just for a pastoral visit the next morning. We got there on sunup at 7 o'clock in the morning, and that's the outside of the Bulma, which is what, and the kids start early looking after the cattle. It's a little bushman. He's probably only about 3 years old. That's a lovely family herding their goats, and I took that photo because I love the picture of the mama carrying the goats and then with her little baby on the back as well. That's where we went into the Bulma area where the animals are kept, and we blessed the animals and the family members and the bushmen who were there, the warriors. And it's just another one. And we also blessed some of the homes. That's a new home that had just been built out of sticks, and yet to have the cow dung and the mud put by the women all over the sticks to make it nice and cosy. That's inside where the little girl is sitting. That's the bedroom area, and that will be covered with goat skin, and they'll sleep on that at night time. The women of the village sang for us there, and some of the little Maasai kids, we took a selfie with them, and they were all happy to see themselves on a screen. We continued the rest of the day at Wakasabi, and the next day, and then we went to this place called Wisusaji. And the interesting thing about the Wisusaji church was that it was actually grown by the Soma ministry that went there 4 years ago. They did a Holy Spirit 3-day ministry there, and it just really grew. And the bishop gives credit to what the Soma team did there. Over the front of the church it says Zima Simu Hapa, which you would probably think was something religious, and on inquiring I discovered it means turn your cell phones off. It's a new church, so there's brand new pews there. It was only opened in June, so you see how the pews are nice and shiny. And once again we're teaching the people to pray for them, and we're guiding them in healing prayer for each other. This amazing lady, she is the lady who is the sort of almost the one whom God touched to bring the faith amongst the Maasai at Wisusaji. Her name was Sabina. And Sabina came to the Soma retreat 4 years ago, and the Lord touched her life. She went back to her Bulma and told her husband Manyika all about it, and he came in. He was touched by the Holy Spirit, and then he went into Kondoa to talk to Bishop Given, and as a result an evangelist was assigned to their community, and they all became Christian. And Sabina was pregnant there with her 10th child, and she asked us to pray for her because she had burning legs. And I think if you had 10 children you would be having burning legs by your 10th pregnancy. And another interesting little story that happened there, we're praying. There was a guy there with one leg who lost his leg in a motorbike accident, and with him and his wife. Now, what was her name? Christina. And Christina came because she had chronic headaches. And anyway, we prayed for her and ministered to her, and she wasn't feeling any better and any better. And just as we were talking and sort of almost giving up, the Lord gave me a word to just pray for over a tattoo that was just above her eye, one of, you know, the many tattoos that they have. And I just laid my hands on it, and we prayed for her, and we prayed over this tattoo and asked God to empty of it its power. And she said she just felt a real coolness come over her head when we prayed, and she felt a lot better and went away with a smile on her face. So when we finished our time there, we headed the next day to the Masada Maasai community. This is a place that's very dear to my heart. It was the first place where we went to in Tanzania. And when I went there last time, and this is the Chief Isaiah's home. The tree underneath outside of his home was where we had our services there last time we were there and did our teaching. And we ended up at the end of our first mission there, baptizing the chief plus 25 people of the tribe. The next week, 70 people were baptized by the local priest, and since then, the number of Anglicans, baptized Anglicans, have grown to about 165. And it's quite a nice little Christian community out there. Once again, for Isaiah, we blessed his herds. We went out to the area. There's about five bombers all around the area, and they come into that central area there to have their worship on Sunday. And one of their dreams is to build a church just in the area beyond that. They gave us a costing for a new church, which would be 8 million Tanzanian shillings. And if you think that's a lot of money, it's about $5,200 Australian. We went from the church, we walked up to this boma that is owned by Baraka, who is Isaiah's brother, and this is Isaiah's nephew, Lamanyeni, and we blessed herds there. We also blessed boma, Manyatas, which is the homes there. And then in the afternoon, we had a church service. And the ladies began with some drumming and some dancing and singing. And I got to baptize two lovely little Maasai boys. The first one was Luca Amos, which is, he was from Lamanyeni's Boma, and Lazaro, which was from Isaiah's Boma. Typical African, the men sit on one side, the women sit on the other side. And that's Isaiah, who is the chief, and that was our day at Masada. And the next day we were back at the Kondoa Cathedral for the final two services in the morning. And we had Andrew preach and Peter do the translating into Swahili. And at the end of that service, I had my most amazing ministry experience, I think probably ever in a way. There were two ladies, their name was Eva and Hirajuna, and they lived out on the very edge of the parish, the cathedral parish boundary. And they came in, they were bought by a friend because of the fact that he knew we were there and he felt that they needed prayer. So anyway, Eva had problems falling pregnant, so Andrew and John took her, and Peter and I took Hirajuna, and she had had problems with her stomach and with her head. Now, over the years that we've ministered in Kondoa, we have discovered that there's a definite link between their involvement in going to the witch doctors and witchcraft and the occult and physical symptoms. And for a lot of the women particularly, it's pains in the stomach and headaches. And often when we just lead them through a prayer of repentance, they feel a lot better. And it really helps us to be effective in our healing ministry towards them. And so anyway, Hirajuna, she Peter and I prayed for her, and we did some deliverance. We got her, led her through some confession. We did some deliverance ministry with her, and then we just prayed for her, and she started to tremble and shake, and her eyes bulged, and it was a bit worrying. I wonder what was going on. And after a little while, we stopped, and I said to her, you know, what are you feeling? And she said, I'm feeling a battle going on inside of me. And so anyway, we just continued to pray in tongues over her. And at the end, about another 10 minutes, she just let out a big sigh. And she said, I'm healed. And Peter spoke to us some more. And she actually told him that the night before, she had a messenger, probably an angel, come to her through the night and tell her that if she goes to church tomorrow, she will be healed. And she was. So that was just absolutely amazing. And that afternoon we had led in a healing seminar. And then that's what happens at the end of church. Everybody shakes everybody's hand. You make a big circle. And then the bishop gives the blessing outside of the church. And once he does that, anybody who has any spare vegetables or goods for sale, they auction it off and make a little bit more money for the plate. That's the inside of the cathedral there. And then the next day was our day heading back up to Kilimanjaro to fly out. And we went to Tongariro National Park. And so we saw wildebeest and warthogs and antelopes and elephants and baboons and giraffes, and we saw lions too, but they were a bit far away to get a decent photo of them, among many other things, including vultures that I've never seen before. Saw a couple high up on a tree, hoping I wasn't going to die that day. So that was our group. Peter ended up staying on in Condal for another week to catch up with friends. John Mock, and then beside him the guy with the binoculars is Steve. He was our guide. And then Pascal, who is the bishop's driver, who I call my Tanzanian bestie, and Andrew, and the other chap is Julius, and he's the sub-dean of the cathedral at Condoa. So when we arrived home, we got a lovely email from the bishop that said, thank you very much. Indeed, it's always great and easy to host you. Your commitment to the gospel more than anything else has been the source of mission successfulness in Condoa. Indeed, you have participated fully in the growth of our diocese, and you've been part of our journey in every way. And the bishop was certainly extremely thankful for our donation of $2,300 Australian. It enabled him to buy a lot of food. In that place that we first went to, Atolwa, the drought was really terrible there. And in one of the places that we went to last time, a place called Mpendo, there was actually children dying from hunger. And as I shared with you before we went, some of the people are only eating every third day. So the bishop was very pleased that to get a generous donation from us to helping with the buying of maize for the people. So let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the way we at church were able to share in this mission to Condoa and bring blessing to the people of the diocese through my ministry and through our offering of money. Lord, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and to bless them as, Lord, they seek to share the gospel in this area that is 90% Muslim. They have a hard job, but they're doing it well and successfully, and the church is growing. And we pray, Lord, that you would just continue to bless each and every minister and Bishop Given and his staff. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.